Wow, I can't say I ever expected Duran Duran to be covering an ELO song from the 70s, but there it is. Their new single from that Halloween album that they've got out at the moment. Duran Duran and Evil Woman. If you're planning to travel on the Island Line, on the MTR, anywhere between Kennedy Town and Chai Wan, there's an equipment fault on a train at the moment at Kennedy Town Station, and your journey could be extended by as much as 15 or 20 minutes. So you might want to leave it a little bit longer if you can. Island Line, MTR, problems throughout the next probably hour or so. OK, it is 17 minutes past 12. Time for us to have a bit of a chat with Morris Mizanowski, our business futurist. Morris is on the line, as he is every Tuesday lunchtime. Morris, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very, very good, and wonderful to be chatted to.
Nice to speak to you again, mate. Now, you know, one of the things that sort of happened in the last week or so is that there's a possible change in direction in the way the US is going, as we know, with President Trump coming into power. But what we wanted to talk about a little bit, I think, today was the way that big business and corporations are starting to have a bit of an influence on overall global geopolitics and, you know, where things are going. You know, how have things changed, would you say, Morris, in the last maybe couple of decades?
You know, James, I think everything old is new again, and that's what we're experiencing now. If we go back in history to the 15, 1600s, we had the East India Company, a large corporate company that was hanging out of England that basically took over the world and really changed the politics, changed the geography, changed everything about what it meant to be human on this planet. That was very much a corporate company. We move forward to the Roosevelts and to the big, you know, to the big entrepreneurs around America in the 1800s, 1900s, and they put in the railways, they built the very large buildings, they literally decided where towns would go. So what we had was hundreds of years where really, even though it seemed to be governmental, it was very much about corporates, people with lots and lots of money that decided how and where they were going to spend that money and what they were going to spend it on.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see that back again now. And I've started to notice it. I mean, it's been a while, but I've started to notice it, of course, with many of our social media companies that, to me, are almost equivalent to those because they have created brand-new digital worlds, James. I mean, they didn't exist before, and lots of us spend lots and lots of time in these digital worlds being influenced by them.
Yeah, I think your point about the East India Company and companies like that is very interesting. Just before we go on with the social media, and that particularly affects Hong Kong, because of course two of the biggest conglomerates which are still in existence are Jardines and Swire, and they have their origins, of course, in some of the British companies that came to this part of the world in the 18th century, and some of them still, you know, have a lot of influence here. For instance, Swire still owns and controls Cathay Pacific, which is Hong Kong's airline, of course. So yeah, it's very interesting that you bring up that point, because it really is quite close to home in a lot of ways. But social media is taking us forward as an influencing platform, isn't it, Morris?
It's a different version of what we've just spoken about. It really has changed, I think, what it means to be human for those that are in that social media space, and even those that aren't. That's a dramatic statement to make, but it's brought news to a more immediate sense. We now hear news within a second or a millisecond of it happening, but also what we're getting now is micro news. We're getting information from individuals, whether they understand the news, whether they're competent to be able to relay it or to make comment on it. We decide for ourselves by listening to them or subscribing to them or whatever the appropriate term is, depending on which media we're using. But it's a very, very different landscape now that we're involved with than ever before.
Now, of course, one of the social media companies is the company called X, which was, of course, called Twitter until a year or so ago when Elon Musk came along. And he seems to be a bit of a mover and a shaker in terms of influence at the moment. We've seen him in support of President Trump on the campaign trail in the last couple of months. But he's really pushing things along, isn't he?
He is on lots and lots of spaces. I'm not sure that we would have such an appetite or an interest in electric vehicles without him. I'm not sure that the space race would be quite what it is today without him. There are lots of landscapes where really his bullheadedness, I mean that with a bit of love, but his ability to be able to push a message really, really hard and put his money and effort behind it, has spearheaded a whole lot of new industries. Well, perhaps industries that were dormant, that really didn't have the light of day yet. He's pushed them into the fore. And his influence, as it appears to an outsider like me and the American influence, is quite vast. When you look at Trump's impressions or needs for electric vehicles before Elon Musk got really heavily involved in his campaign, Trump was talking about getting rid or certainly diminishing the electric vehicle and bringing back the old vehicles with all the manufacturing and work that was attached to it. But when Elon came in, I can't tell you these two things have correlation. I'm assuming very strongly and inferring they do, but you can't say 1 + 1 = 2. But it seems to be that when Elon came back into Musk's fold and began to have his ear, that electric vehicles weren't so terrible anymore, and they are now going to be part of a future transport landscape for America moving forward. That, to me, shows a level of influence.
Well, now there's a rumour out there, it may just be completely a conspiracy theory, that that Elon has bought Ford. And now we're really not sure that that's true, and there is no proof or no actual news story that says that. But it does seem that a lot of these big things do swirl around these big personalities. And, of course, the social media world and the corporate world on the tech side is full of these personalities, isn't it? We've got Tim Cook over there at Apple. We've got Mark Zuckerberg, who's running Meta. You know, Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram and so on. And these personalities are influences in their own right, beyond just, you know, the standout one, which is Elon.
Yeah, they absolutely are. They are all examples of P.T. Barnum, the old showman. What he was able to do and what they're able to do is to get us talking about it. Yeah. I mean, you and I are talking about it today. We're talking about them. That's not a bad thing to do. But we're not talking about the other 100,000 million people, however many there are, who have similar thoughts and similar topics and could drive this conversation. We're talking about the one person that's able to get us to talk about it. And these people, as heads of corporations with lots of money and lots of need to get us talking about them and using their products, often put themselves at the front of this. They become the spokesperson and they build a cult following, good or bad. And that's exactly what we're talking about. These people can get us to listen about whatever it is that they are spruiking at that particular moment.
So do we think that going forward, looking into the future, as we normally do on a Tuesday lunchtime, that these kind of personalities are going to take away from perhaps the big public and political personalities?
I think they're definitely going to be part of them as well. I've argued for the past while that politics or political parties or governments, depending on, you know, how we want to look at it, are really diminishing in many ways, and these personalities are looming larger than them. If you take, again, anecdotally, we don't know this to be true yet, but one of Trump's supposed great tools that he used was social media, but specifically social media for the young. So going on to programs where the young people, you know, anyone from starting a voting age to maybe 30, Josh Rogan was an example of that, where it supposedly got him a whole lot of people interested in him for politics because he took the supposed time and effort to speak to them where the other parties didn't. So these social media spaces are very, very fertile with their ability to get people to listen and to perhaps change or alter their minds or influence other people.
Now, of course, in recent times, we've also heard about, you know, other YouTube-type influences. You know, obviously you mentioned Josh Rogan, you know, has the big podcast, but there's plenty of other influencers out there, possibly you might say good and bad. Some of them seem to just be pushing products, you know, just seeing who they can get to sponsor them, and they'll talk about any product. But there are quite a lot of other fairly sizable influencers. I mean, you know, they've got a large number of fans and followers.
There are. There absolutely are, and you're right. And at the end of the day, for many of them, it either started off or it is a commercial reality. It is the way that they make coin and make a living. Some of them an extraordinary amount of living. The number one social media influencer, this is by number of followers, is Cristiano Ronaldo, who has 639,000 Instagram followers, 113 million X people, 62 million on YouTube, followed by Selena Gomez, who's number two, Mr. Beast, Lionel Messi, Justin Bieber comes in at four, Kylie Jenner comes in at six. So we have a whole list of very, very well-known names now.
I know you said it before, Morris, but in some ways, isn't it a bit frightening when you've got that many people tuning into the thoughts of a footballer or a pop singer? I don't want to put those folks down, and they're truly great at their thing. But the fact that Ronaldo's got 100 and whatever it was million people hanging on to his every word, is that a good thing?
It's frightening. I think it's frightening for anyone to have that kind of influence. And I absolutely agree with you, Say. I mean, not to take anything away from him, because he certainly built a terrific brand and he's very, very good at what he does. But I would argue, like many people, however good he is good in a certain set of criteria or a certain set of knowledge. And for that, we should absolutely look for him. If I was looking for football insights, there's no one I would go to quicker than I would go to him. But if I was looking to understand how I might be able to shape my political thoughts, or how I might be able to do something or understand something, I'm not sure he would be the best person for it. But it is human nature, always has been, for us to go to the person that's most prominent around us.
Yeah.
It was forever religious elders. And our churches, regardless of denomination, regardless of what version of it, it has historically always been our church elders that we went to as a family and a community to understand how we should interpret the world, what was appropriate, what was wrong, what was culturally acceptable. We took our cues from those very much larger organisations, also governments. But now, as we're talking about today, we're taking it from individuals who can really change the way that we think about something very, very quickly.
I mean, I suppose there are a couple of good examples of folks that became popular in other ways. One of them, of course, is President Trump. You know, who really came to popularity as the star of The Apprentice TV show in the US. And the other one, which we don't necessarily think about so much, is President Zelensky of Ukraine, because of course he was a TV comedian before he was president. So I suppose could we see Ronaldo being the president of something, or Selena Gomez being, in charge of something much bigger in the future? I guess that's possible, right?
Well, it is. We've seen sports stars become presidents of Pakistan. We've seen it already happen, that people, as you've described, who have a following for whatever reason, television or whatever else, do end up in politics or do end up being very, very influential. All those things are possible, but it's like everything that we've talked about, James, and everything we talk about anyway. This space, we need to interpret it for ourselves. The greatest fear I have is that many of us, perhaps me also, are just walking into these thoughts that other people have quite blindly and accepting them. And we really need to be discerning about them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these influencers. It's wonderful to hear their thoughts and to share their community with them. But we really do need to make up our own minds and be discerning and understand where truth is and where that lies for us.
Well, that's a great note to finish on, Morris, and one for us all to think about. Interesting stuff, the future of influencers and who is going to influence us further down the line. Morris Misiewalski is our business futurist. Morris, thank you very much for joining us.
A pleasure. Have a great week, everyone.
Nice to have you on the show, and we'll speak to you this time next week on The Brew.